Good morning. We heard a lot of different things today. Things that maybe we need to do, we do need to do. But as I look, the Bible says, as a scripture reading says, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so as we look at what we may have heard today, how does faith pull this all together? Because I don't know about you, but there are times in my life I have to question, how is my faith? And so as I began to look, I began each time I go deeper and deeper into faith, and some of those things I want to share with you through Scripture. We want to talk a little bit about faith. You know, there's many times as I go out into the community, talk with people, faith is something that they say sometimes, well, I know Christ, that's all I need. I believe in God, I'm okay. Is there more to faith than just saying you believe in God? As I began looking, I began questioning myself, do I really have faith? And so what I want to do is we want to go through, we want to see some areas where there were, Jesus was talking with people and there was problems with faith, and then there are those that had great faith, and how do they work together? What do we see in that that we can take for ourselves today? First, the lack of faith. Here's a story about Peter walking on the water, and he steps out of the boat and he's walking like on solid ground. And he's walking there, and all of a sudden, things begin to change. And in Matthew 14:31, here's what it says. And then immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So we see there's this element of beginning in faith and yet beginning to doubt. There was also a boy that was cast before Jesus' feet. And Jesus, as the story goes, the disciples could not take care of this problem. And so the father was feeling a little bit hopeless through this. And Jesus, seeing this, here's what Jesus said. And this is Matthew 17:17. And then Jesus answered and said, O faithless generation, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. Here Jesus is with them. They see the miracles of Jesus, and yet he calls them a faithless generation. And Jesus and the disciples, they're a little concerned why they couldn't do it. Matthew 17 continues on, and then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, and verily I say unto you, if you have faith the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto the mountains, remove hence and yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible for you. I had to stop there for a minute, and he says, you can remove mountains. How many of would like to have a piece of property with mountain views? I would say, if this is what God's talking about, we would see the mountains moving back and forth because everybody would want mountain views. This is not what Jesus is talking about. What is Jesus talking about here? Mountains of sin. Things that we think are impossible to move, just with a bit of faith, we can do that. But he says, because of your unbelief. So we see now unbelief, and we see the unjust judge here now. And there's this woman who is burdened. She has an inheritance, and they're trying to take it from her. And in Luke 18, the judge just says, oh, just get her out of here. She comes to the judge pleading, and this is her only avenue. And she comes pleading, and the judge says, oh, just get her out of here. Let's not worry about her. And just let her go. She continues coming. And finally, the judge says, do it. Do it for her so I don't have to deal with her anymore. And so here's what Jesus says at the end of that parable. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Jesus is looking down the corridors of time, and he's saying, if they have faith, I will avenge them speedily. Will there be faith on the end of the earth? That's what we're going to look at. And what is faith, though? We need to take a look at faith so we can understand the ramifications of faith. How does it work? But without faith, in Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. What does please God mean? But he says it's impossible without faith. So he goes on in that verse, and here's what he says. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently do what? Seek him. So here now, Jesus is saying it's impossible without faith to please him, but we need to do what? Believe that he is. Believe that he's God. He can do what he says he can do, and that he will reward you to them that diligently seek him. And we need to look at that a little bit. Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. When Peter was walking on the water, did he draw back? Sure did. We need to deal with this problem. What does it mean to please God? Psalms 107:13, here's what it says. And this is God speaking through David and saying, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and that Israel had walked in my ways. God is, what pleases God is that we take him at his word and we walk in his ways. Pleasing God, then, is someone that believes and takes God at his word, knowing he will help them. Now, as we take God's word, and we look at God's word, and we believe God's word, what does it cause us to do? There's the question. Let me give you an example of my daughter, Emma, which is doing the sound back there. I taught her how to ride on a street because the driveway that we had was gravel, and you couldn't learn how to ride a bicycle on gravel. So she would ride out on the street there, and I would watch for cars. Now, if I seen a car coming, I would say, Emma, there's a car coming. Get off the road. So she turns, she gets off the road. Did she believe me? Yes, she did. She believed me because she did what? She came off the road. Did that please me? Sure did. Now, if I said, Emma, there's a car coming, and she says, oh, that's okay, Dad. Does she believe me? Doesn't believe me. Did it please me? No, it doesn't please me. So when we think of pleasing God and faith, faith is not just acknowledging that God exists. It's acting upon what we believe and trust in him. We act upon it. Here's a statement that I found. It says, if we are to have pardon from sin, we must have a realization of what sin is, that we may repent and bring forth fruits meant for repentance. We must have a solid foundation for our faith. It must be founded on the Word of God, and its results will be seen in obedience to God's expressed will. Okay, so now faith, what is faith now? It's knowing and believing in God and acting upon it. Did Abel do this? Remember Cain and Abel, the story about Cain and Abel, the two sacrifices. Let's take a look at that. Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gift, and by he being dead yet speaks. God accepts Abel's gift and refused those of Cain. The difference was not simply in the character of the gift themselves, but also in the character and attitude of the giver as reflected in the gift they brought. Okay. When Abel brought his offering, was that an offering that God directed? What was the offering? A lamb. Abel brings a lamb. He trusts in what God says. He says, bring a lamb for your offering. He trusts in God's way of forgiveness of sins. He brings the offering and God accepts that. Cain, on the other side, he believes in God, but he doesn't trust in God's way of forgiveness. He wants to do his own way. So what does he bring? Fruits and vegetables. So God honored Cain. It also says that, and by him being dead, yet speaketh. Listen to this. Abel's faith has borne a living witness down through the centuries. There was power in Abel's faith that led him to conform to the course of action God had prescribed. And the powerful influence of his faith lives on today. It yet speaks. Do we have testimony? When we have faith in God, are we a testimony to others? We are testimony as we have faith in God. Abel today, we still can see the faith of Abel. Did Abraham have this faith? Let's look at Abraham. This is in Hebrews 11:8-9. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him in the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath a foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Did Abraham believe what God was saying? Yes, he did. What did he do when he believed in what God was saying? What did he do? He went on a journey. Did he ever see that city whose builder and maker was God? Faith is trusting in what God says and you act upon it. Regardless of whether the answer comes or not, you are trusting now in God's word. That's what we trust in. For what does Romans 4:3 say? For what saith the scriptures? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. So God, Abraham steps out in journey in trust, acting upon what God says, and that was counted to him as righteousness, whether he received the gift yet or not. Is this kind of faith possible? Yes, it is. We see it in the scriptures. Centurion's servant. Here's a man who hears about God and he goes to the Jewish leaders and he says to the Jewish leaders, my servant is sick. My servant is sick. I need some help. Could you talk with Jesus? And so he goes and they bring him before Jesus and he begins to go, Jesus begins to go to the house and all of a sudden this servant or the centurion, not the servant, the centurion says, stop right there. I'm a man of authority. All I do is I tell people to go and they go. I tell people to come and they come. Whatever I ask them to do, they do. You're a man of authority. All you need to do is say the word and it's done. And look what Jesus says. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in all Israel. What was he relying on? Was he relying on the outcome or was he relying on God's word as authority? He's relying on God's authority. Whether he saw it or not, he's relying on God's authority. The woman that was healed, Matthew 15:28. Here's a woman that Jesus went out of his way to meet this woman, this Canaanite woman, and all of a sudden, she sees Jesus, she comes running up to Jesus and says, my daughter is sick and has a demon, and I need some help. Will you help? And Jesus sort of ignores her and just keeps on going. And then all of a sudden, she comes back and says, please help me. Please help me. And Jesus says something that sounds a little strange. He said, we should not take the food from the master's table and give it to the dogs. And she comes back and she says, yes, but... She says, even the dogs get crumbs off the master's table. And Jesus comes back and he says this. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Jesus is looking for those who have faith in what he can do. Faith in what he says, regardless of what the outcome is. Then the boy that was cast at Jesus' feet, we talked about that a little bit. The father is a little bit shaky because the disciples couldn't do it. And here's what he says. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. There's a cry if we don't have faith or enough faith or we feel like we don't have anything, we can cry this out, can't we? And say, strengthen our faith, strengthen our faith. There's a couple dangers in faith that I saw. And here's a statement, and it's confounding faith and feelings. We need to be very concerned. I want to read this, and we'll talk about it just a little bit. Here is faith, naked faith, to believe that we receive the blessings even before we realize it. When the promised blessings is realized and enjoyed, faith is swallowed up. But many suppose that they have much faith when sharing largely of the Holy Spirit and that they cannot have faith unless they feel the power of the Spirit. Such confound faith with the blessings that come through faith. The very time to exercise faith is when we feel destitute of the Spirit, when thick clouds of darkness seem to hover over us, and the mind then is the time to let living faith pierce the darkness and scatter the clouds. True faith rests on the promises contained in God's word, and those only who obey that word can claim its glorious promises. Okay, here we have many times I've heard people say, man, God is so good to see what he did for me. This is what's happening. And they rest their faith on when God answers. But faith goes prior to the answering. Faith is when you don't know the answer. When God answers that, faith is done away with. It's gone. Because now it's not more faith, it's God's blessing by answering that prayer. So here's the thing. Here on this side here, we have God's blessing. And on this side over here, we have faith. If I put my confidence over here when God answers it, if I put my confidence when he's going to answer and how he's going to answer it, what's going to happen to faith if I never get the answer? What's going to happen to faith? It's going to die out. It's going to get shaky. It's going to start doubting. But what if I put my faith on this side that God says he will take care of it and he's going to do it? And I stand on God's promises and I don't look for a time when that answer is going to come. I'm looking at God says it's a promise. I know he's going to take care of it. I'm going to leave it in his time. That faith, like Abraham, will carry him through whether he sees the city or not. We need to put our faith where it rightly belongs. Faith in what God says and what he says he can do. How do you get faith? Bible says, here's a couple of things. Romans 12:3. For I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself highlier than he ought to think, but to think soberly according that God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. So do we produce faith? He gives every measure, someone a measure of faith. So now it depends on what we do with that measure of faith, where we are. How else do we get faith? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay. If we don't study and we don't look into God's word, according to this text, will our faith grow? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Now, God somehow brings the word of God to us sometimes through messengers, that we begin this faith journey with God. Look what happens with the centurion. Luke 7:23, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him, we talked about this a little bit, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of who? Jesus. He sent unto them the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. What did he hear? He heard something about who? How do we hear about Jesus? How do we hear it? The word testifies of it. God's word testifies of it. And when someone shares God's word, we hear it, and what do we say? When we're in need, what do we say? Can God help? He did it here. Will he do it for me? That's what he's saying. God can do it for me. Faith begins to grow, and he acts upon his faith. He goes now and he goes and asks the elders to go talk to Jesus. Let's go to Jesus because there's hope there. Two blind men, what did he say? Matthew 9, 28 and 29. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Faith had to precede the answer. Whether he heals now or later, it has to proceed. Our faith needs to be on the power of God and not the answer. What happens when we exercise faith? Faith gives us peace. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Exercising faith also gives us a spirit, and the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we see, we receive the promise through faith, through the Spirit, through faith. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruits of the Spirit, and faith is one of them. It says, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no law. When we have faith in God, all these things come along with that. Praise God. Praise God. It also gives us victory in John 5, 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith in God is not the avenue, it's the avenue which God works. You are saved by grace through faith. Faith alone does not save you. It's putting your trust in the one that can save you, that can save you. Exercising faith pleases God. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because he had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Through faith we have everlasting life. John 3, 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but wrath of God abideth with him. So we have everlasting life because he promised it. A couple stories I just want to share. There are those that have stood on faith even in the sanctuary today. They have stood regardless of whether the outcome was known or not. There are many that believed in God's word and the Ten Commandments, and they had a predicament. The Bible says, the fourth commandment says what? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. They says, this is what God says. Are they going to believe in it and step forward and act upon that faith? If they act upon that faith, that's how these men receive their gift, their blessing. When we act upon that faith, whether it is now or later, it's trusting in God and the outcome, not what we perceive as the outcome. And so many people have gone into their boss and said, sorry, from now on, I cannot work on Sabbath. Did they know the outcome? Did they know what the outcome would be? No. Faith led them to move on without having an answer, because they trusted fully in what God could do. As I close, there's a story and I don't even know if it's a true story. It was about this town in the Midwest, and it was really a farming town, and it wasn't raining, and there was a drought going on, and the farmers all got together, and they says, "We got to do something. What can we do?" And the governor of the little town, little teeny town, said, "We need to go. Let's go to the center of town, with that little church in the center of town. Let's all meet tomorrow, and let us pray." That's the only other solution, is let's pray. So the next day, some tractors, some old trucks, and the farmers with the overalls and are coming into town. They're sitting in the pews of the church. And the governor is up front there, and he wants to begin this prayer for their community. And as he's there, this little boy comes in the back door, and he has his dad's water boots on, his rain boots, and he can hardly walk in them, and he's just sort of scuffing along the ground. And he has his dad's raincoat on that's dragging on the ground. He's carrying an umbrella. And everybody just hears him coming in, flopping these boots around. And there's an elder in the back, and he just turns and says, "Son, it's not raining. Why are you wearing these things?" And all the people are looking, and this little boy just says, "I want to just let God know I'm ready for when it rains." Faith has us act upon what we believe. And so as we go today and we look, faith is more than just an intellectual belief. It's really knowing that God can do what he says he's going to do. And we put full trust in that and not what he's going to do or how he's going to do it or if he's answering it the way I think it needs to be done. It's just trusting fully that God's going to make it happen. And so as we close, God is actually talking to each one of us today. All these things that we heard today, without faith and trusting God's going to be able to do it, it looks hopeless when I look through my own eyes. It looks hopeless. But when I look through God's eyes and he says all things are possible through him, "I'm the God of all flesh, there's nothing too hard for me," I can put hope and have assurance that he can do it. And that's my plea. And we're going to need that before we get through this time at the end where it said, "Will I find faith on the earth?" We're going to need that hope and complete trust in him before this is all over. And that's my plea. How many want to have that kind of faith before we end? As we close, let us turn to page 608, Faith is the Victory, as the singers come up.